Father, we thank you for now this time as we look into your word and as we discover some new things about freedom and truth. Lord, I pray that you would bless us, that you would guide my words, help me to just let your spirit speak. And Lord, we pray that you would open all of our ears and heart to your message. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, freedom. You know, yesterday, that's what it was all about. In fact, I understand there was, you know, these talk shows and they go out on the streets and, you know, they ask people what the 4th of July is and different things. And, of course, they don't interview the people who know what it is. They have to interview the people who don't. And apparently there's quite a number of people that don't know what the 4th of July means. It's unfortunate. But what's more unfortunate is that there are people out here that do not know what freedom in Christ is. And there's probably quite a few more people than don't know about the 4th of July. There have been a lot of challenges to our freedoms, not only in the world, but in the country. When one group gets a freedom, then they want to step on the freedoms of others. And I'll try not to be too political today. You know, so what is true freedom? What does it really mean to be free? And so I think we need to go to the scriptures as we do and find out the whole gamut of what freedom is all about. I want you to go to John chapter 8, 1629. John chapter 8, 1629 in your pew Bibles. Page number 1629. John chapter 8, starting in verse 31. Now, Jesus is he's involved in this all, and the disciples are standing around, and he says to the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, "If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." So, in this scripture, right away, he tells us what freedom is. And he tells us that it's truth that really is freedom. If you have truth, you're going to be free. And he says, not just free, but truly free. So, this kind of a truth is what we're looking for. We want to find the truth that gives us freedom. So I want us to turn over to John 14. And we're going to find out what truth is. Chapter 14, verse 6. This is Jesus again talking. He said, and Jesus answers Thomas, because Thomas said, you know, we don't know where you're going. How do we know the way? Jesus said this, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you'd know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." So Jesus now is telling us that not only is he the way, but he's also the truth. And not only the truth, but the life. So now we get an understanding that truth now is in Christ. And Christ gives true freedom. So I want us to continue with this thought, not only just for Jesus being the truth, but also God's Word. Now go to 2 Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 2, and that's 1812 in your pew Bibles. Verse 15 in chapter 2, 2 Timothy 1812 in the pew Bibles. It says, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman that does not need to be ashamed, and who correctly handles the word of truth. Avoid godless chatter, because those who indulge in it will become more and more ungodly. Their teaching will spread like gangrene. Among them are Hymenaeus and Philetus, who have wandered away from the truth They say that the resurrection has already taken place, and they destroy the faith of some. Nevertheless, God's solid foundation stands firm, sealed with this inscription: the Lord knows those who are His, and everyone who confesses the name of the Lord must turn away from wickedness. Now, you know, this to say that all the things that go on in the world, all the godless chatter, and there's a ton of it, you know, we've got a lot of things going on in our political system, don't we? A lot of things that have been changed, and our Constitution being challenged all the time. But those things are going to happen. The truth really comes from the Word of God. The truth really is Jesus Christ. When you waver from those things, then you're going to have all kinds of uncertainty. You're not going to know which end is up. You have to stay firm and solidly planted and keep your eyes on the Word of truth, on Christ Himself. And so when you do this thing, these things, then you get what's in Psalm 119. Psalm 119, you can turn there if you want to. It's just one verse. Psalm 119, 105, 905 in the Pew Bible, if you want to go there. I just got to get there, that's all. All right. I don't have these things marked. Some pastors, I guess, they put markers in there, and I don't do that. I just go for it. Okay, 105. Verse 105, it says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path." That's the only verse I'm going to read. But the point is that this Word of God, this is our light. This is what guides us in our path through this world. It is the truth. It helps us in all areas that we need. In Psalm 33, verse 4, it says, "For the word of the Lord is right and true. He is faithful in all He does. The Lord loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of His unfailing love." So the word of the Lord is right and true. There's truth. There's freedom. So true freedom is found in God's word and in Jesus Christ. You're not going to find it anywhere else. Now, we have a challenge here in this world. We know the challenge. The challenge is just this, and we're going to turn to the scriptures again for the challenge. Romans chapter 1, 1708 in your Pew Bibles. I know we're jumping around a lot, but this gives you a good handle on what's in the Bible. Chapter 1 of Romans, 1708 in your Pew Bibles, and we're going to be there for a little while, so you might want to turn there. Chapter 1, verse 21 in the Pew Bibles. Our challenge in this world is just this: that people generally do not believe in God. People, in a general sense, our country may have been founded on scriptural principles, but the majority of those in Washington, D.C. are not following it, right? They're not Christians. So it's impossible for us to demand that they follow Christian values when they are Christians. You know, just the same thing with anybody in the community. You cannot go up to a person who's not a Christian and say, "You know, you got to follow the Word of God." Because they're going to say, "You're nuts. I'll do what I want to do." So this is our challenge. In Romans chapter 1, starting verse 21, it says, "For although they knew God, they neither glorified Him as God nor gave thanks to Him. But their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like mortal man and birds and animals and reptiles. Therefore, God gave them over in the sinful desires of their heart to sexual impurity for the degrading of their bodies with one another. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshiped and served created things rather than the Creator who is forever praised. Amen." We're going to stop there for a second. We're going to continue in a little bit. But people threw away the truth of God for a lie. And then they become fools because they're following after all kinds of idiocies and doctrinal things and lusts of their heart. We see this in the world today. They create things, images to look like mortal men and birds and animals. And isn't it interesting? Not that the computer in itself is evil, but they've created all kinds of things within the computer to cause us to devote all our time to it. It is amazing to me how many people, and you know, I hope none of you are, but Facebook becomes a god to them. That the Bible, instead of the Bible being our guide, we're looking at Facebook all day long. And we can't get it off of our phone. We got to go on our phone and look at it. We're messaging and we're searching all these things. And not only that, but there's games and there's other things that take up all our time. And so we've exchanged the worship of God for things that are not His. Things that we've created. We've thrown away the truth of God and accepted the lie. Oh, you know, life isn't going to get any better than that, and, you know, there's no hereafter. And I've had people tell me, well, I don't believe in hell. I don't believe in the devil. I don't believe. You can say that all you want. But is that the truth? No, because the Word of God is the truth. What Jesus told us is the truth. So we can believe whatever we want to believe. But if it's not coming out of the Word of God, it's not the truth. And so we're going to be in bondage to sin and all the things that come with sin. And I've seen some real bondages. You know, you can drive down the streets of not only Crandon, but any city, and you can watch people wandering around aimlessly. People that are stoned or drugged or drunk. And they have no goals, no ambition, no anything. They're lost and they don't even know it. Let's look at verse 26 and on. It says, because of this, God gave them over to shameful lusts. Even their women exchanged natural relations for unnatural ones. In the same way, men also abandoned natural relations with women and were inflamed with lust for one another. Men committed indecent acts with other men and received in themselves due penalty for their perversion. Furthermore, since they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, He gave them over to a depraved mind to do whatever ought not to be done. They have become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, and depravity. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, and malice. They are gossips, slanderers, God-haters, insolent, arrogant, and boastful. They invent ways of doing evil. They disobey their parents. They are senseless, faithless, heartless, ruthless. Although they know God's righteous decree that those who do such things deserve death, they not only continue to do these very things, but also approve of those who practice them. Isn't that a description of today? You see, this is what's happening. And we wonder, why does this guy just pull a gun out and shoot everybody? Because they're God-haters. They're arrogant, boastful. They're thinking of ways to do evil. They hate their parents. They're senseless, faithless. They're murderers. And when you throw God off in the corner and you want nothing to do with Him, and you exchange that for a lie and follow the lie, this is what you're going to get. They're filled with wickedness and evil desires. You know, no wonder our country is voted for things that are strictly against the Scripture. And then they look at us as Christians and say, well, you guys are just not with it. You know, why don't you get with the times? Why do you have to be such haters? Why do you have to be against everything? Well, I'm not against everything. I like a lot of things. I do a bunch of things out there. I have fun. I'm not a old dumpy guy. I do fun things. But you know what? When it comes against God's Word, I'm not going to do it. Because I know that His Word is the truth. And by following the truth, I have a freedom. You know, we're called to share the gospel. You know, and there's a lot of stuff going on in the world. There's a lot of sinners out there. A lot of people that follow things that we're against. You know, we have that ruling that came through the Supreme Court. We're all, you know, as Christians, we're against it because it's against the Scripture. But we're called to share the gospel. We're not called to beat on that door all day long. You know, yeah, we can go and picket the Supreme Court. We can go to Washington, D.C., and we can have a big old march going on and everything. But is that saving anybody? What I think we need to do, because we're called to share the gospel to all sinners. Because why? Go to Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3, starting verse 22. The latter part of 22, in fact. Because the first part, it's okay. Let's read the whole thing. Verse 22, it says, "This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe." There is no difference. There's no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified freely by His grace. So, we all sin. I know it's a horrible thing. See, He knows how bad it is. We all sin. We're all sinners. Don't get into a high and mighty position where you say, oh, you know, those horrible sinners out there and those horrible rulings and this horrible thing and that person's terrible and, you know, this and that, because we were the same. It says here there's no difference. Doesn't matter. Rich, poor, slave, free. Doesn't matter. The gospel is for all of us, for every person. And we're called to share it. We're not called to picket. We're not called to demonstrate. We're called to share the gospel. Now, I want you to look at 1 Corinthians. It's 1737. It's the next book, actually, in the Bible. Next book after Romans. Chapter 6, 1 Corinthians 1737. chapter 6, verse 9. Now, this sounds tough at first, but listen to what he says. "Do you not know that the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor male prostitutes, nor homosexual offenders, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, or swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God." But wait a minute, look at this next verse. "And that is what some of you were. But you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of God." Yeah, I was one of those. I was in that mix. So was all of you. All of us were in that conglomeration mix. We were all sinners. We all were against God. We had nothing to do with God. We weren't going to inherit the kingdom of God. But then something happened to us, whether it was a friend, or we read the Bible, or we saw something on the TV, Billy Graham, whatever it might have been, and the witness came, and we changed our lives. We realized what we were missing. We came to Christ as our Savior, and then we were washed, sanctified, and justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, we need to share with those who haven't heard yet. We need to give them the opportunity to believe as well. We don't need to condemn. You know, you hear it a lot where people say, "Don't judge me, man." We're not judging in the sense of condemnation. We're judging because we see the Scripture and it says, this is wrong. We're judging between wrong and right. And I teach my children that. I hope you teach your children that too. You've got to judge between what's right and wrong. You know, going over there and playing with knives is wrong. You know, cutting people is wrong. You know, kicking people is wrong. Bullying people is wrong. "Oh, don't judge me, man." He might be a bully, right? "Don't judge me. It's what I do. It's my job." It's wrong. Not only the Bible tells us that, but we just know, morality-wise, it's wrong. So it's not judging, it's discerning between right and wrong. And that's what we have here in the Scriptures. It tells us what's right and wrong. And we're telling people what's right and wrong. But they're saying, "Don't judge me." We should pass over that and say, you know what you really need? You really need to know Jesus as your Savior. That's what you really need. So we can talk all day long about what's wrong, but if they don't hear what's right, if they don't hear about Jesus Christ, they can't change what's wrong. They're in slavery to their sin nature, just as we were. And so we need to change. We need to come to Christ. Let Him change us from the inside out, the heart condition that's sinful. And so that's what we're called to do. Now that's what communion, you know, I got tied into communion now. You know, that's what communion shows us through the body and the blood of Christ. Now, the bread symbolizes that and the juice symbolizes His blood. But it reminds us of what Christ did for us. He gave His life for us so that we can have freedom from the penalty of sin. The penalty of sin is hell, separation from God. So when you believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior, you believe that He went to the cross, that He was beaten, that He was nailed to the cross, and that He died on that cross to pay the penalty for us in our place. And so we are redeemed by His blood, redeemed by His body. And so that's what communion is all about. So when we take communion, we're taking it as Christians, as believers, that we believe His Word, that we believe what He did for us, that we trust Him with our lives, and we will follow Him, the truth, who gives us freedom, true freedom. I'd like us to take a moment, and I'd like us to have a word of prayer, and we're going to get things straight. I want, if you've got problems, if you've got issues, I want you to give them to the Lord. And come clean. And so you can take communion without a sin condition of your heart. Without things weighing on your heart. So let's bow our heads and let's have a word of prayer as we do that. Father, we come before You realizing how much we need You. Realizing that our freedoms sometimes conflict with the freedom that You have offered us. And sometimes we want to go a different direction. We think it's better. We think that that's the way we need to go, and it's not. If it's not following Your Word, Your truth, then it's wrong. And Lord, I pray that You would Your Spirit would show us that. If there's wrong filling our heart, Lord, that Your Spirit would convict us of that, and as we confess it to You, that He would wash us and clean us so that we can take communion with a clean heart this morning. We pray now that You would just fill us with Your Spirit now. Lord, that You would help us to follow You more closely, to give up on the world's philosophies and let go of all the sin and immorality coming out of Washington, but just focus on, we need to share the gospel. We need to have a clean heart ourselves so we can give people what they need. Lord, I pray that You would build in us that character of Christ. We pray now Your blessings on the bread and the cup. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.